You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Good night. I don't know where this came from. I'm so sorry. Paul, sorry, man.
Oh, man. Kurt.
I hope that I left you a okay place to cut. And good night. I'm so sorry, Granger.
Man, I'll be honest with you, Burns. I don't think we have to cut. Welcome back to the podcast, y'all. Interesting podcast today. I don't think you know this, Bernie, but it is January 22nd is the day this comes out, and this is episode 222.
Whoa.
A lot of twos going on in today's episode. 222.
With two people.
On 1-2 with two people. Wow. Yeah. Bernie Calcote, one of my favorite guests, probably my original guest. I don't know. You've been on more than anybody combined.
Yeah.
And what we do here, man, we just answer your questions. You email podcast@grangersmith.com, ask anything. And I don't know, as we're recording this, after we finish, we're going to go to lunch. And so this podcast is like, you go to lunch with us.
Yeah.
And you say, hey guys, can I run something by you? Because that's what we're going to do at lunch today.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? So email podcast@grangersmith.com. We're going to get right to it. The first question comes from Ethan. It says, hello, sir. My name is Ethan from Michigan. I'm finishing up my last semester of college, and I'm getting a degree in welding engineering technology and accepted a full-time job as a welding engineer for John Deere, my dream job since I was 13 years old. But I lost my dad unexpectedly in April of 2020 from an aneurysm, leaving me, my mother, and my three younger siblings, two boys and the youngest a girl. As I prepare to move 8 hours away, I struggle with how much of the father figure leadership role I'm supposed to take on and whether or not I should be staying close to my family. I love what you're doing and I look up to you as a role model. Thanks for taking time to read this. If you could send me the podcast number, if this is read, that would be awesome so that I don't miss it. Thank you, Ethan. Yeah, episode 222. Okay. I think my man Ethan emailed the right crew here.
Yeah, wow. That's
I could definitely feel this. I know Burns can. Actually, Paul, the guy that edits this, he lost his dad just a few weeks ago. Mm. So this is the fraternity that nobody wants to enter, but most of us eventually do, mm-hmm. losing your dad. Mm-hmm. And then, like Ethan, a lot of us will go through this type of idea. And whether or not it's exactly like Ethan, where you're wanting to fill in a void with your parents or with your mother and your siblings, it could also come in the form of probably what you feel and I feel. How do I raise my kids without a grandpa? Mm-hmm. And in a way that I could kind of fill that void that a grandpa would fill. Mm-hmm. And the answer is you can't.
Yeah.
but we still try to think,
yeah,
you know, like my kids on my side, not Amber's side, but my side, my kids have never known a grandpa. My dad died when London was two. And how often have I thought, man, dad would have made a good grandpa. Mm-hmm. Like dad would have taught him this about fishing. Mm-hmm. Or dad would have been really good at throwing the ball in the yard. Mm-hmm. And now I'm stuck in the grandpa mode. And it's a wrong thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just naturally what we think.
Sure.
When my dad died, Parker, my youngest brother, was, man, he was like 19. I think he was 19 or 20. And so that was he was in a different place than I was. He was in college. He was like Ethan here. Right? He was just like you. And that hits harder for that age group, for what you're doing, Ethan. I feel you. And Parker could feel you for sure.
Yeah, you being the oldest probably have a different perspective for Ethan than I would have. I was the youngest. I was not as young as his sibling, you know, his youngest sibling. But how did you... Because I think part of his question is, and Ethan, I'm so sorry, man. This is it's a tough thing to lose a dad. It's a tough thing then to carry the burden of being a father figure. How did you, and I know that you weren't trying to fill that for Tyler or Parker, but how did you, as the oldest, lead them through the grieving process and just the leadership of the family from, you know, a man's point after that?
I for sure felt that. And I feel what Ethan is talking about here is, you know, as I lost my dad, I thought, man, I'm the oldest male in this immediate family now. And it's an unnecessary burden that you'll put on yourself. It's just not needed because you're not your dad and you're not going to fill the role for your mom of your dad. Or for your siblings, you're not going to fill that role. And so you really want to come alongside your mom and encourage her and help her with all the new things that she has to deal with as a widow. And this happened in 2020. So there's been some time to go by here too. And so there is a level, maybe you could help me with this, Bernie, but there is a time for being there for your mom in her grief. And then there's a time to say, okay, but I also need to move forward with this job with John Deere. That's what dad would want me to do. And it would be probably unhealthy if I gave up everything to be with mom and my siblings to fill a spot that I can't even fill anyway.
Sure. I think the communication with your mom is going to be huge. Just understand. I mean, it probably has been at this point. This has been 3 years ago. So, Ethan, we'd love for you to write back in. Maybe fill us in of where you are and what's happened. Well, and there's
this is a new email.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this happened.
But it happened in 2020. Okay.
He's just now preparing to move 8 hours away.
Yeah, I think it's probably time.
Me too.
I think you've probably had communication with your mom. I feel like there's... Because you, more than being a father figure and filling that role, you're a role model either way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's people out there probably listening who maybe they haven't... their father didn't pass away. But he's been absent, and they've had a sibling that's had to step in and just be a role model. Maybe it's not a father figure, but it's someone that can help, by the way that they live, be an example. Hey, when you go to college and you work hard and you study something and then you have this opportunity, you pray about it. And if the door continues to open, even though you have to leave some things behind that you love, you go for it. You go. I think that that could be, obviously he doesn't mention a lot about his dad's character, but that could have been who his dad, like you said, wanted him to be and wanted, you're going to, you know, show that example to your siblings. If your mom is in a good place, there's just a lot of questions I'd have for Ethan. But if the question is, do I go pursue this work that even though it takes me a little bit away, I think you do. I think you do that. I think you stay in communication, and everything can be for season. Yeah, if you take it and you move, and you're like, man, there's things happening that I feel like my family needs me. Then you're not committing your life to live there forever. So,
yeah, that's really good because Ethan, you could be giving your mom a huge gift by taking yourself out of the situation at an appropriate time. 4 years is an appropriate time. So you remove yourself from, maybe you're a crutch to her, you know, like maybe you're providing something that she's leaning on that's inhibiting her from moving forward and continuing on with her life, her next phase of her life. Maybe you're doing the same thing for your siblings. So what you think you're adding to the family, maybe you're actually hurting with, possibly. And then the flip side of that is, if you don't take this job at John Deere, you will think about it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You've been dreaming about it since you were 13. Yeah. You're going to wonder, what if?
The fact, Ethan, that you're writing in this question and this is weighing on your heart, whether I should go, I really care about my family, it tells me for the last 3 years, you've probably been doing everything that you needed to do.
Boom.
And it's probably time to give everybody some space and be the example that your dad would probably want you to be, man.
Love it. Yep. Yeah. Next question comes from Sam. Says, hey, Granger, I'm currently enrolled in a seminary and an elder in my church. When writing sermons, it seems like a lot of pastors just reuse information. Example, quoting a book that's not the Bible and using other people's information. Any advice on how to start thinking on my own almost so I could give fresh looks into the Word of God? I hope this makes sense. Appreciate you, Sam. Okay, man, was not expecting this kind of question.
I don't write any sermons, so I'm going to let you take this one.
Sam, it's really critical though that we do talk through this. It's a good question, and I'm so glad you asked. I'm so glad Burns is here because it's really critical, because you don't need to give fresh looks into the living Word of God. You don't. That is the cultural pulling in you. That is what society tells you you should do. That's what you see on Instagram. But you don't need to. In fact, it's dangerous if you do. If you try to give a fresh look into you, this is your words, by the way. How could I give a fresh look into the living Word of God? If it's the living Word of God, it doesn't need a fresh look. It is the truth already. And so you go, what do I do with this information? Well, as you start teaching or preaching, I guess that's what you're asking here. You preach expositionally, meaning you work through the Bible itself and you trust that the Word is going to not come back void. So you'll decide, okay, let me put it in my shoes for example, because I'm not a pastor. If you were a pastor, you'd say like, hey, we're going to work through the book of Luke, and it's going to take us 30 weeks, 30 Sundays, and we're going to work through Luke. And I do what I do when I go out and preach on a Sunday, like at a church, not a conference, that's a little different. But when I go on a Sunday to a church, I'm going to use a text, and I'm going to exegete that text. Bernie and I have been doing this for a long time. Is Bernie will be like, hey, I want you to meditate on James 1 or something. But I'll look at a text, read the text, talk about the text, the historical context of the text to the crowd, and then walk through it line by line. giving the congregation, the hearers, what the context that the author intended it to be. So you're looking at the world, at your congregation, through the lens of the text, as opposed to what you're saying, look at the text with the lens of the world, a fresh look of the world into the text. Don't do that. That's where it becomes dangerous. Instead, look through the text at the world. So you're going to read the text in the context of the way it was supposed to be read and heard. Explain what the author's intent was in the text. And then after you do that, then you could start applying it to the modern hearer. After you've exegeted the text, then you apply it to the modern congregation, the fresh, we'll use it there. The freshness comes after the text, not before. That, not only is that important to hear for you, but man, it's so relieving. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to write a new TED Talk every week. You don't have to come up with a fresh new series on relationships or on heartache or loss or finances or prayer. You don't have to think of a new series. You just go, our series, and it could be one of those aspects I just said, as the application in the text in the book of Luke that you're working through. Man, it just clears your plate. It makes life so much easier for you. And I believe you're more faithful to the Bible when you do that. You're just walking through. You're walking through Hebrews. You're walking through Luke. You're walking through 1 Samuel. You could decide that with the other elders. And something neat that you might be able to do is go Old Testament, and then the next series is the New Testament book. And then you go back to the Old Testament book. But you're working through the text in the way the author wanted you to hear it, and you're presenting that to the crowd and then applying it to their life in a fresh way. That after, right? I hope that makes sense, brother. But I'm encouraged that you're even emailing and asking what I think is a really good and important question. Podcast is brought to y'all by Shopify. You know, when I first started a band, an online store was probably the furthest thing from my mind. It just sounds way too complicated. But now we look back on Yee Yee Apparel, it's actually so easy. All because I use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your launch your own online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way till maybe, did we just hit a million orders stage? Well, Shopify is here to help you grow. Listen, whether you're selling scented soap or outdoor apparel like we are, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, whatever or wherever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Me, Tyler, and Parker, as we try to run Yee Yee Apparel, we realized a long time ago that we just were in the apparel business because we liked and we enjoyed growing a brand. And we knew something about it. But, you know, we didn't want to have to get deep into the weeds of learning the ins and outs of an e-commerce platform. That's not in my wheelhouse. But that's where Shopify came in a long time ago for us. They've not only been a platform that we use, but they've been a business partner, really. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the entire U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period. It's shopify.com/Grainger, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Grainger, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Grainger now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Grainger. You know, if you want to get a hold of me or get a video message from me right to your phone, sent from me, And you could have me send it to anybody you want. Maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's just a word of encouragement. Maybe it's a surprise to someone else. I could do that right here on my phone and send you that video message according to what you want me to say. Go to cameo.com/GrangerSmith and find me.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. Where America goes to hire.
Next question comes from Anonymous. It says, I'm 16. I'm from Texas. Really love your book and your podcast. Your story is incredible. Recently found out that the one person I trusted and loved the most lied about something for a year. I had to find out from someone else. I've been asked if I'll ever be able to forgive. I've prayed about it and I'm trying to forgive because I know it's the right thing to do, but I don't know exactly how. This hurts me a lot, and I won't be able to forget this pain. What does it mean to forgive? How can I forgive? I'm smiling because this is the most like anonymous, no information kind of email that you could possibly write.
But from somebody that's 16, I guarantee you, I wasn't asking anybody, how do I forgive? What does it mean to forgive at 16? So kudos to you, Anonymous. Like,
that's amazing.
I think your thoughts that you could share that have been really helpful, I've listened to in the past from you, about the difference between trust and forgiveness.
Yeah, when you're 16... this is hard, man. I mean, it's hard when you're our age. And let me reread what you said. You said, I found out that the one person I trusted and loved the most lied. Okay, so you might be thinking to Bernie's point, you might be thinking, I can't forgive them because they broke my trust. And I want to encourage you that the trust and forgiveness aren't the same thing, and they don't have to exist together at all. And same with agreement. You could forgive someone and not agree with them. You could forgive someone and not trust them. So maybe just separating those ideas, first of all, would be helpful for you. And remember this also, forgiveness doesn't require a certain response from them. It doesn't require reconciliation of the problem itself. This is a heart posture that we take to forgive. So to say whatever this person did, and it's bad because you had to email this podcast. That's how bad it is. To forgive is your heart posture. Now, here's the problem. This is the problem with forgiveness. It is a heart posture towards that other person, but our heart is stubborn and doesn't want to do it. And so we start with our mind. And what I'm telling you here is just things that I've tried to collect my thoughts about, because it's not like there is no facts about this. So don't think that I'm telling you facts here. I'm just telling you the way I've collected this idea. We take our mind and we make a decision similar to love. We make a decision, I will forgive this person. And then our heart kicks and screams as our mind is dragging it along the dirt road. I don't want to forgive. No way. They lied to me. And your mind says, you don't have to trust them. And they go, but I don't like them. You don't have to agree with them, but you will forgive them. That's what we're doing. We're going to forgive. And then I have found that when you take captive your thoughts, like the Bible says, your heart will catch up. And your heart will eventually set aflame the idea. Why? Because forgiveness is biblical. We're told to forgive. Why? Not so that it causes us pain or friction, because eventually we rest in that and we go, oh yeah, man, that person lied to me and I don't trust them, but it's okay. I forgive them. What they did, there's consequences to what they did. I'm not going to follow this path anymore, but I forgive them. Mm-hmm. And there's healing in that for us.
Yeah. I've, like you probably, have had people who have done what has happened to Anonymous, have really just hurt me in some way, broken my trust, you know, incredibly. And what I found with forgiveness, like love, is it is not something you do once. Because I will, if I'm honest, I'll find my heart in a posture sometimes of like, man, I think I've talked about this before, like grace being the front door to the house of gratitude. And like, I will get to that place, but then like a week later, if I'm honest, my heart is like, I don't want to forgive them. It comes back again because I'll go back into that pain. I'll feel that again. And I have to, like you said, make that decision. And I'll go back to the word that is living in me and saying, no, I forgive them. I'm letting that go. I'm not holding on to that. And so just an encouragement, like if you get to a place in your heart where you feel like I can forgive them, and then the next week you're like, I don't want to forgive them, it's natural, but it is like a decision and a heart posture that you may have to just continually work through.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, I was thinking that sometimes people will email me or DM me or something, and they'll get mad at me at a question like this for not preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, you can't really forgive until you know that you've been forgiven. And I'll get that. I'll get that
people
speech.
People will email you mad that you didn't. Yeah. Like, that's.
Yeah.
Guys, would y'all chill out on Granger a little bit, man? No, like,
that's just life. That's life.
Yeah.
So let me throw that critique to you and say, Anonymous says nothing about God or anything. Sure. Can Anonymous be a non-believer and wholeheartedly forgive? Or should it require a deeper understanding? I'll just throw that at you. There's no,
I don't, that's a difficult one. I don't think so. I think you've used a term before, and I'm not sure what it is, but it's like, I know from experience people who have been hurt, and they genuinely, and I've been in close relationship with these people, they have forgiven, and you see them live with a sense of, you know, contentment and forgiveness, and that's real life. Yeah. I know that, you know, super churchy people would love to be like, well, you gotta know Jesus to really...
You can't know love, you can't know forgiveness, you can't know peace, you can't know joy, you can't know hope. I get it. But that, but we're also image bearers of God, all of us. Right. Whether we reject God or love God, we are image bearers of Him, and we carry these attributes in us in this life here on earth right now.
Yeah. So to your question, though, to be able to do that, I think so. To have a deeper understanding of what forgiveness is a picture of, and an ultimate picture of course, they're not, you know, they wouldn't understand that because they don't believe it. That's not their faith claim.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good, I like it. To all the haters out there. Next question comes from Kurt. Says, hey, Granger, a friend recommended your podcast to me a couple months ago, and I've enjoyed listening to it ever since. Thank you for all you do. I'm 22 years old, and I'm currently finishing up my MBA. Wow. I have two potential job offers for after school. One position is a good paying management position at a reputable company, but the other position is a youth ministry position at a church. I'm struggling with the decision because I want to glorify God in my work and make an impact on the world around me, but I don't know what that would look like in the business world. I believe God will use me no matter what path I take, but I'm currently trying to figure out which way to go. I have tried to pursue godly counsel and guidance, but I still feel like I'm wrestling with the decision. Any advice or wisdom would be greatly appreciated, says just a country boy from Michigan, Kurt. Okay, heavy one here. Not a heavy one. It's worth discussing here. I'll say it that way. First of all, Kurt, I'm just going to say, outside looking in, you, me, and Bernie, we're riding together, and you dropped this on us, and say we've known you for a little bit, and we know that you've been finishing up this MBA. We know that you have a good paying management position at a good company on the line here. And we're going to probably say, you need to go to youth ministry? Like, I want to dig at you like that. I want to say, are you sure? Because the thing is, if you're truly called to this position at church, you're going to go, yeah, I'm truly sure. I have prayed about it. I can't sleep at night. I really want to do it. I want to be at this youth ministry position. And me and Bernie then are going to go, cool. But if you're going, which do I choose? Then we're going to go, hang on a second, man. You've committed all this time to this degree. And I think so many people need to pump the brakes about ministry positions until they have really honed in on their own heart posture to God. Mm-hmm. Because there's a danger of this romantic idea of ministry, right? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that's the way I glorify God better in ministry than I do in this good company position. Mm-hmm. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, the Bible says not everyone is called to ministry. Mm-hmm. Not all of you should be teachers.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we need people in all positions. So you're going to glorify God in any position if you're glorifying God. Okay. Yeah. What you got, Burns?
Oh, man.
I know you got good info on this.
What was his name?
Kurt.
Kurt. Yeah, Kurt, I think there is what Granger said. There's a huge, there's a misconception that the church is the church, and if you're holy, you work in the church and you're in ministry.
Yeah.
But the Bible talks about pastors equipping the saints for the purpose of ministry. That's the point of the church, guys. It's not so that you can go and be fulfilling your, you know, godly duty. No, if you do that, you are supposed to be a small minority of people that are there to equip the rest of us to go into the marketplace and glorify God through whatever sphere of influence that we are in. So that's the first kind of like correction in the thought process. The second is, man, and I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old and I've been in business, successful businesses and connected with a lot of people and money and whatever. And man, I'm getting to the point where I just want to live. Oh my gosh, Granger, this has never happened on the podcast, man. I'm sorry. I just so badly want to live a simple life. Mm. I just want to be, instead of with all these people and these business decisions, I just want to be with him. Mm. I just want to know him, you know? And there, guys, and Kurt, there's so many distractions in this life, so just take heed in the call that, man, if you go that route, if you even go the ministry route, there's going to be so many temptations for you just to be distracted with the work instead of the purpose behind it and the relationship and hearing his voice and knowing him. What did Jesus do? More than anything, he retreated to solitude to pray. With all the crowds that were trying to build his platform. And we would be like, oh yeah, that's the promotion. That's the job. That's the dream job you're thinking of. And Jesus ran away from that. When did we get this backwards? And I've gotten it backwards for a long time. And now I'm just at a place where I'm like, man, God, what do you want me to do with this? Give it away, steward it well, be faithful. What? And I've just learned that probably the answer to your question is just to retreat and pray and listen. Can we pause, man? I'm really... Night. I don't know where this came from. I'm so sorry. Paul, sorry, man.
Oh, man. Kurt.
I hope that I left you a okay place to cut. And good night. I'm so sorry, Granger.
Man, I'll be honest with you, Burns. I don't think we have to cut. Because it's real. It's raw. And I mean, we'll cut this podcast if you think you want to cut this podcast. But I think it makes it more authentic to Kurt if he hears it from you, because here he is, half your age, and he's going, what do I do? And here's a guy that goes, I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what I would do. I'll tell you what I'm doing now. Yeah. Kurt, I remember being 22, and don't take anything that's going on, the emotion that's going on here at the table right now. Don't take this as a, how stupid are you? Like, that's not what this is, Kurt. I think you're talking to two men here, both of us that have achieved a lot in the business world. And This is not a message for you to avoid the business world and go into ministry. That's the last thing I would tell you. But I would say this, and I think this is what Bernie was saying at the beginning. You're in ministry as a believer, whether you have that title on your email or not. That's what's forgotten, is that we are all called to ministry. We are all called to obedience to our Lord. We are all called to spread the word of the good news. You are an ambassador to the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one with all authority. He has been given all authority. You are an ambassador to him. There is no greater call than that. You don't have to be at a church to do it. You have to be, I would hope that you're attending a church. That's not what I'm saying, but you don't have to be staffed at a church. You need to go into your management positions all over the world and support the greater mission, the capital C Church, from all places. There are no specific missions that go out worldwide without extensive support from people in secular industries. It just doesn't happen any other way. So, I love you, Burns, man. Yeah. I think that's the best thing that could have happened out of that question.
Well, yeah, you guys have now seen me and every kind of laughter and tear, but I just know this last holiday season, our family was totally undercommitted. And in a world that is wanting more and better and bigger, and we were just undercommitted, and we were slow, and we were quiet. And guys, I have just heard God's voice clearer in that time than ever in my life. And so if you want to know what to do, if you want to know where to go, just find the quiet. I promise this world is so loud and it's telling you a lot of lies. But if you find that, I promise that you're going to see that path clearer than you ever will.
That's good.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right, a couple more questions here. This next one comes from Mac. And it says, I don't know how to put this, but I'll try my best. Right now, I'm 15 years old, about to be 16 in May. I've been struggling with porn since I was 11 and masturbation since I was 13. My parents also got divorced when I was 8, and my mother, age 42, just died a little over a year ago when I was 14. I have had suicidal thoughts, but I'm currently seeing a therapist for it. I've been dealing with many more problems since a young age, but I've been trying to follow Christ just a few years now. My point is this: how do I follow Christ or get closer after everything that has happened? I keep asking myself, why would a loving God allow this in my life? Comes from Mac.
Man, Mac. I'm so sorry, bud. That's really heavy. You have been through very traumatic, what seem to be traumatic things in your life. Where do you want to start, Grizz? Because there's a few different things that he's said and that he's asking.
Yeah, I think that I could probably go. This is episode 222. And I could probably go every episode from now on and talk about addiction to porn and the questions I get about it.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Well, the first thing it means for Mac is you're not alone. You're not alone in this. Although with that kind of addiction, it's a private addiction. It's behind closed doors. And because of that, and no one talks about it. None of your friends say, man, I'm addicted to porn and I'm in masturbation. No, your friends don't say that.
Real side note, real quick. Isn't it interesting how in the Bible it says that we need to confess our sins to one another and we need to do our good works in secret?
It's the opposite.
But right? Yet we do the opposite. We put all the good works on Instagram and we don't tell anybody about any of our sin. So just a side note. We may have something backwards.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme on this podcast, backwards things. So that's the first point I want to make, Mac, is that you're not alone. Although with this kind of deception, this kind of sin, it feels like you are. And then divorce. There we go. There's the second thing. You're not alone on divorce. In fact, statistics say well over 50% of everyone in the world is divorced, comes from a divorced family. And then your mother, age 42, died over a year ago when you're 14. That is a smaller group, but that is still a group that I would say you're not alone in. Knowing that you're not alone doesn't make any of this easier. It just perhaps makes it more understandable that you are not unique. Right? Because uniqueness sounds like you're alone on an island and this problem has never been had and can never be solved and no one's ever thought about it. So that when I say you're not alone, I'm not saying easy, it's easy, you're not alone. I'm saying, look, you're not alone. That means a lot of people have done a lot of thought about this. Mm-hmm. That's good. It's kind of like when you get, let me think of something really easy. You have a problem in your car. And then you YouTube it and you find out there's like 1,000 people telling you how to fix it on YouTube. Yeah. You're like, okay, cool. Like I thought this was a freak deal that happened in my car, but there's actually a lot of people explaining this. So there we go. And then the last thing here, suicidal thoughts. Once again, not alone. That statistic is really high, really high. It's probably a lot higher, a lot higher than any statistic actually shows because people don't like to talk about it. You're seeing a therapist and then you're trying to follow Christ. You've been doing that for a few years. Your question is, how do you follow Christ and get closer after that has happened? We'll deal with that question. And then we'll deal with your last question. Why would a loving God allow this in my life? Mm-hmm. Great questions, Mac. And we're going to walk through it like we are sitting around a campfire. That's what we do on this podcast. No notes, no quotes. We don't have a C.S. Lewis book sitting right here that has like the perfect quips or the perfect answers. So we've established you're not alone. We've established these are problems that a lot of people struggle with and probably don't even talk about. And then we're going to talk about how to follow Christ and how a loving God would allow this in your life. We'll start with the first one, Burns. How would one hypothetically get closer to Christ?
Oh, man.
All right. What's his name again?
Mac. M-A-C.
What was the dude that made me cry earlier? Kurt?
Kurt.
Okay, Mac, I'm really hoping you ain't going to it to me, brother. But we talked about this off air a little while ago. Like, whenever somebody passes away, one of the questions earlier, like there's this connection that we try to make. Maybe we didn't even know them, you know, like the grandfather, but we know that the grandfather liked to work on cars. And every time that I go and I work on cars, I feel this like connection. Maybe I never knew him, but I've heard so much about him, or maybe I knew him and this is what we did together. And so now that he's gone, I love to go work on cars because, man, I feel this connection. I feel like I still know him, like he's there. Mm. You know what Jesus did? He suffered. And the word tells us that we can know him in his suffering. We can share in his suffering. And I feel like if you want to know him, if you want to know Christ, then intentionally you can find, and maybe you are in this, Mac. Like you can pray in your suffering, like Jesus is there with you. I think there is a means for you through that, not to move it away and like, I just got to focus on Jesus and I got to talk to the church. It's like, no, like in that suffering, in those moments of agony and pain and hurt, it's like Jesus is there. He bore that too. And I feel like there is a way, if you have that intention and you have that mindset, that you can draw. I think that was closer. How do you draw closer to him? How do we know him
after
more?
Everything that happened?
Yeah.
But you're building an argument that it's actually easier to get closer to him after that stuff happens.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
Because when things are going good in your life and everything's great, you don't think about God. You think about yourself and how good things are. And so when the Lord removes things from us, when he tightens his grip a little bit, when he lessens our oxygen intake a little bit and we start gasping for air, we go, God, where are you? Where are you? And in those moments, we might say things like, how do I get closer to you? And he's going, I'm doing it.
Yeah, he said, "You actually, 6 months ago, you prayed that you wanted to know me more. I'm answering your prayer.
Yeah,
this is quite literally how it happens.
Yeah.
It's through suffering. And I know nobody likes that. And the other thing that I've thought of recently is we have these things that are probably, Mac, outside of your control. Your mom passing away. I lost my mom at a young age, too. And so I do understand that. And that was, I didn't have any control over that. But that was a suffering and a pain that I had to go through. But Jesus knew. He intentionally came to suffer ahead of time. So I think even in just for everybody out there listening, I feel like, and for me, I'm almost trying to find ways, like you've questioned me before, or people have, about like, why do you do cold showers? Why do you do ultra running? Why do you do these crazy things? And it just like recently through Philippians 3:10, I was like, that's the connection. I get to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. I get to know him in his suffering. And so I'm going to go into that, that's a sauna that's 180 degrees, then that cold plunge that's 40, and I'm just going to sit in it. I'm going to be like, oh, I know it's not the cross. I know it is not, but just a little bit, a taste of it, a little bit more closer to you. I want to know you in this. And so I know it's counterculture, it's backwards, but I do believe that we know other people through suffering with them, and I believe that we can know him and draw closer to him through the suffering that Mac may be going through right now.
So in snow skiing, there's the bunny run, the greens, the blues, the black diamonds, and the double blacks. I think you're on like a black double black diamond right now with your walk in Christianity. And I think Max, like, we need to take him to the bunny slope. He might be thinking, I don't even know who Jesus is.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
If he's, yeah, Mac, let me back up. If you're having suicidal thoughts, he said he's in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a different mental state a stable state that we need to encourage you to get to before you start thinking about all this nonsense I was saying.
Yeah. So, don't get on the double black diamond until you learn how to snow ski. Let's get you on the bunny slope, okay? What Bernie's saying is all truth, and I love it. And he's in a really diverse spiritual mountain right now, which is really cool to see. But if we're going to get you on the bunny slope, and we'll first say what Bernie said, and that's a good reminder, that if you are having suicidal thoughts, please seek medical attention. Okay, this podcast is not the end-all, be-all. You need to seek medical attention and get help in that way, okay? So, boom, let's establish that. Second, let's get on the bunny slope with Jesus, which eventually will trump everything, all the therapy and all the medical help. He will trump all of that, but you need to get to know him. You need to know who he is. When you know who he is, you no longer say things like, why would a loving God allow this in my life? I don't think you know this loving God. And in fact, I know that you don't. And I don't say that to insult you. I know from your email that you don't. And I want you to, desperately. I really want you to, Mac. And this is going to start with a couple ways. It's going to start with knowing him, knowing the gospel, reading his word, going to church. And I'm not trying to stack up a to-do list for you, a grocery list. That's not what I'm trying to do. But there are a lot of ways to attack this. And I think it probably with this conversation starts with the gospel. So let me tell you the gospel, because the Bible says that those who hear it, there is transformational power in it. The power of God lives in this message. It appeals to your conscience in a way that your social mind tries to reject it. This appeals to your conscience in a way that we cannot understand, because we were created by a God with this story, okay? So the gospel starts with God, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving. This God creates. I mean, that idea alone, like, just stop there and just think about it for a second. God, who needs nothing, who exists in eternal past, he was not created, he does not have a beginning, and he decides, out of his love, he's going to create. So he creates man in his own image. He creates everything, but we're the only thing of all the things in his image. And early on, we reject him. We inherit that sin from all of our ancestors. The sin of rejection to God. We rebel against him. And that manifests itself in all kinds of ways. We are sinners. Now, we feel sorry for ourselves, and we'd like to change that name to, like, scars and you know, like, problems that happen to us. You know, like wounds and scars, we like to say. But the truth is, it's a sin. It's a rejection of God himself, and in that, we have separated ourselves from God. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So he has separated from you because of your sin. That's what your sin has done. And the reason I say it that way is because we like to think of our sin as like, please, God, I got this sin. Will you come heal me and make it better for me? God knows that. He sends Jesus, who says, I didn't come just to make it better for you. I came to reconcile your relationship with God. Because you can't do it, I come to bring you, to tear down that separation and bring you to God. That's why Jesus came, to reconcile sinners, to bring them to God, sinners that cannot do it on our own because we're imperfect beings. So God sends his Son, which we call, this is a big word, the incarnation. He comes to earth, lives the perfect life in a way that we couldn't. And what do? We kill him. We send him to the cross. He dies on the cross. As a replacement for our sins, he kills sin on the cross. He takes it upon himself on his body. He takes our sins on his body and bears it himself on the cross. And then 3 days later, he's resurrected from the dead. And he says, anyone who looks to me, anyone who looks upon me, who believes in me, who turns from themselves, who turns from their poor, pitiful selves, that's always worried about how am I going to overcome porn? How am I going to overcome masturbation? How am I going to overcome the loss of my family? Oh, I want me. He says, you turn from that, turn to me, believe in me, and I will restore you. I will redeem you. I will heal you. I will adopt you as a son to the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus came to do. So my invitation to you right now, Mac, is that you hear those words and you respond to them in a way. Because those words do not call indifference. It's like this. It's like me saying, hey, Mac, you have a heart disease that it will kill you. You will die. You need a heart transplant. I'm a doctor telling you. You need a heart transplant. That kind of news demands a response. Mm-hmm. You cannot be indifferent to that. You can't go, well, I don't know, doc. It's yes or no, right? And so the gospel does the same thing. You have a disease that will kill you. Here's the cure. Jesus is the cure. He reconciles you to God. So my challenge to you, because you asked the question, how do I follow Christ and get closer? You asked the question. My challenge is tonight, Mac, you get down on your knees alone in a quiet place. You go, God, I know I don't pray very often. And in fact, I don't really even know how. But I listened to this podcast and I heard Granger and Bernie. They were getting really emotional and they were telling me about what Jesus did on the cross and telling me that I don't have to be a good person to get to you. I just need to put all my trust in you. That you did the work for me. And then after that, I'm going to feel this peace. I'm going to feel this love from your grace that goes and kills this masturbation, that kills this weird guilt that I have in my life that wants to take my life, my own life away. That's what I heard. And God, I want to believe that. I want that. Open my heart so that I believe it. Open my eyes to this word. Do this. What do I do, God? I want to follow you. I want to know why a loving God would allow this stuff in my life. Are you a loving God? I believe that you are. This is the kind of prayer I want him to have tonight as he hears this podcast. Mm-hmm. That's my challenge to you, Mac. And you can go one of two ways. You could do it, or you can go, I don't know about all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, you cannot be indifferent to a doctor telling you you need a heart transplant. Why would a loving God, last question, why would a loving God allow this in Mac's life? Do you have an answer for that, Burns?
Oh, man.
I mean, you kind of said it earlier.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of where Mac's coming from with that question. Those two questions back to back.
It's a struggle.
Almost like if he takes your advice, I'm happy to answer. You can answer. But I feel like if you take Granger's advice on the first one, you'll probably find the answer to the second one.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. You worry about that kind of stuff less when you understand the first part. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because what Burns is saying is, when you stand on truth, when you know the truth, as God has revealed himself in the Bible. We know that he is good. We know that he is all-powerful, all-purposing. We know that he also mourns with those who mourn, weeps with those who weep. We know that he hates. Listen to this. A lot of people go, God doesn't hate. Yes, Mac, God hates this sin. He hates this idea of you and your suicidal thoughts. He hates that you hurt. You're made in his image. He hates that you hurt. He hates this porn addiction. He hates this masturbation addiction. And he offers you truth. And he offers you love. And he says that he's good. He self-reveals himself as good. And so we trust, God, you're good. You're holy. You're different than me. I can't understand your ways. So the fact that I can't understand where I am in my life right now, I can't understand that you are good and you work things to the counsel of your own will for the purpose of your own good, which is ultimately the purpose of all of our good. Because if it's good for God, it eventually is good for us. Look, that's not that difficult. That might sound crazy, but it's not that difficult to understand when you look at it in terms of a child. We are children compared to him. We know nothing. It's like I've said this before. Me taking my kids to a man that straps them to the chair and performs painful things on them, later to find out I was just taking them to the dentist. And they think I'm evil and horrible to do this to them. In fact, pay someone to do this. It's a dentist.
Who would put their kid through that?
Yeah.
It's the same.
It's the same. We could go on and on. We've got a little extra on this podcast. In fact, I'm not even going to get to the last question because this has been something, man. This is 2-2-2
emotionally draining. Is that the words you're looking for?
The 2-2-2 was memorable, man.
Appreciate you guys out there bearing with me,
y'all. Before we started burning, we prayed for the words of this podcast, and I still don't know, as I look back on what we've said, I don't know what we said that is helpful or if we said it the right way, but I just trust that God takes this and his word does not return void. So we love y'all. Thanks for hitting us hard with some really good questions, and we'll see you next Monday. Thanks for joining me on the Granger Smith podcast. I appreciate all of you guys. You could help me out by rating this podcast on iTunes. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, hit that little like button and notifications bell so that you never miss any time I upload a video. Yee-yee.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.